You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
We are the youth group from Prairie Baptist Church in Scotts, Michigan. Welcome to Tim Talks.
And those were the kids from Prairie Baptist Church in Scotts, Michigan at Prairie Baptist Church. What a great group of kids. What a great missions conference I had there. Incredible. And I've got a topic for us next week from one of the young men there. Just a great kid, gone through some very difficult times in his life, very difficult, and asked me if I would do something, if we would do something, and I think we're going to try and tackle that next week. But great time. Got awesome. To play some floor hockey.
There you
got
go.
Got beat up pretty bad.
Life is
got
good.
Beat up pretty bad. So they had a young man there.
girls checked
the girls,
into the
wall. Girls, yeah, those farm girls. I'll tell you what, got to watch them. Yeah, play with a couple boys that really did a good job. Played with the missionaries and had some fun. So, yeah, it was a great time. Great time. Pastor, there is a
nice opening to find out you are expendable.
Well, I'm expendable, all right. I'm expandable and expendable.
I'm exposable.
Yeah. Hey, good things happening in America. I heard that President Trump's going to be able to be on the ballot in some of the states that are fighting against
surprise,
him.
Surprise.
Yeah, I know. That's something. And good.
Who'd have ever thought?
Good news. More corruption exposed in Canada under our prime minister. So good news all around. Good news. Yeah.
Yes.
Unbelievable. So that's the political rains. Weather, let's check the weather. It's pouring rain. I'm in Canton, Michigan today and headed to Nashville and pouring rain outside. So how about Columbus? What's going on there?
It is beautiful weather today.
Oh, wow.
And yesterday. Broke a record yesterday, 75.
Wow.
Previous record for that date was 71. So
wow. Yeah, it was beautiful. We drove yesterday from Scotts to here in Canton, Michigan, and beautiful, beautiful day. So I can't believe it's March, 1st of March. Winter was supposed to be terrible, and by the grace of God, we escaped.
So. Well, if we don't get a lot of rain this spring, we're going to be pretty arid
right.
for the crops. So
Right. I agree. Yeah, we did not get enough rain and snow. So
probably I'm going to have to wind up making my own meat in Petri dishes.
Oh, okay. All right. Woo. All right. So moving on from that. I had several folks there in Prairie tell me how much they appreciate Tim Talks and good listening base there. Really good.
Amen.
Yeah, really enjoyed that. And then I've had several folks reach out this week. So keep it up. Keep it up. We love hearing from you and hearing that you
I'm sure
enjoy.
They appreciated all of my Ohio State themed
yeah.
discussion.
We'll talk.
I'm sure that it was very receptive.
We'll talk about that off air. I don't think that's for small children's ears. Yeah, they love the Wolven Man. They love you to death. They are great fun. They're great sports about that. Great fun about that. So,
oh yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So there's of course where I was at, not too far from Sparta Country. So there were some, Michigan State people there too. So there's kind of the trifecta going on there. So I just stay neutral. I just love everybody, and everybody loves me. It's great. Love it. Good.
Perfect Canadian.
Yeah, here you
stay
go.
Stay neutral.
There you go. Stay neutral. Love the world to Jesus. That's what we're doing right there. So, well, as promised, we're going to get into it. Some great feedback from our podcast last week on Calvinism. Some great feedback from folks. And that's something that people are, always hearing about, wondering about. And so glad that we could tackle that. We didn't go as in depth as maybe we could have, but I think we definitely gave a clear view of what Calvinism is and why we're not part of it. So I appreciate that feedback. But today, flat earth, the flat earth. Yeah. I almost fell off the other day. It was pretty close. I was right on the edge.
Whew. Yeah. When it starts tilting, we roll around like pinballs.
Right. Well, if it's tilting, it's because we're together. We can't.
So that's why we want Phil Clayton in the center.
In the center, for sure. Yes. Yeah, Phil, do not move from center, whatever you do. If all three of us move to one side, it's just going to spin over and over like a ball rolling down a hill. It'll be terrible. So,
well, you know, it'd be like the old Batman shows where the crooks, it was always slanted. You know?
Yeah.
Their hideout was always slanted.
That's right. And I loved Batman walking up the wall with Robin. That was always good. And the surprise guests.
And people opening up the windows. Hey,
yeah,
what are you doing?
You never
there?
Knew who it was. That was great, the old Batman. So how much have you heard about flat earth? Like, have you heard a lot of talk about it? Like, I know it's around and people mention it once in a while. Do you hear a lot about it? I don't. I do not.
In circles, I do. So it's sort of like here and there. We have had, I want to say four people, three that I can think of immediately, but who, you know, came and attended and, you know, after they come once or twice, hey, I'd like to meet with you. And so we're always willing to do that no matter what. And invariably, you know, they get going on the flat earth. And so, you know, it's just that consumes people.
Right.
You know, that's one of the negatives of it. But yes, it's a it definitely is an interesting theory.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've had a few people, you know, kind of bring it up, but nobody ever really wanted to go wholehearted at it in Canada anyways, and, you know, it's just one of those things. It just pops up every now and then. It's kind of like Calvinism, but every couple of years somebody brings it up and people get going on it and rant and rave a little bit, but maybe we should start by telling people what the premise of the flat earth is and why people want to support that idea or that theory or whatever. And let me just say,
why they want to support it, I have no idea.
No.
But
and let me just say from the onset that I do not hold to a flat earth position. I don't. But I will say this. If we get to heaven and find out the earth is flat, is it really a big deal? Is it really something worth dividing over or causing serious problems over? I don't see.
Right.
I don't see the reason for that. That, you know, people have misled us to believe that the Bible is wrong. We've followed a false doctrine. I don't really believe that is the point. So we'll take it from there. So
yeah. Well, the point is to me as we begin with it, you can't even say it's a doctrine because Jesus never spoke on
right.
it. And so the apostles never brought it into the church. And so the importance of this theory is so minimal. And so if you want to, certainly that scientists, I appreciate like Answers in Genesis, the group of people that will take science and investigations in all of these different areas and built upon the premise of Scripture being true, and then they find these evidences of how the Scripture is true, and, you know, just so it goes into that. I don't look at the Bible as a scientist. I look at the Bible as a preacher.
Yes.
And so in that regard, I'm a little bit colored in my view, and I wouldn't say biased, but I see it from the perspective of what do I need and how can I use it to try to help other people.
Right.
And so that is really the way that I look at the Bible. So whenever I read Christians who are scientists, not Christian scientists.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whenever I read them, it's interesting to me because I'm like, I never thought of that before in that way.
I have more often seen science proven by the Bible than science proved the Bible.
Oh, yes.
And it's amazing what's in the Word of God that we have learned and that we use in everyday scientific operations that a lot of people have no idea. I watched a couple hours of documentary on this topic so that I'd be prepared for this. And the scientists that were on there, they had three scientists, and they had three people that were flat earth supporters, and two of them claimed to be born again Christians. And those scientists were so dogmatic against the Bible. They would not
Yes.
give any credence to it at all. And so, you know, almost angry that people would want to support a biblical view, whether the flat earth people are right or wrong. So to me, that's a starting point when you're arguing this idea of where the earth comes from and what the earth is. You have to take Bible, but you have to take what's in the Bible. You can't suppose. And I saw those people that supported the flat earth. They gave two biblical references. I believe both were from the book of Isaiah. And that was it. Two very short, you know, titles or pieces of scripture, and that was their support. And that, to me, that's not good enough. That's not going to cut it.
Yeah, I was looking this up, and there are about 200 verses that flat earthers will go to. And I like what one individual did, because I didn't do a deep study in this.
Right.
But I want to at least have a working knowledge of what we're going to be talking about. But I like the way one individual did, and they divided up all of those Bible verses into three classes. And I thought, oh, that is really helpful. And so they listed class one as verses that have nothing to do with the flat earth argument that people use in the flat earth. The second class are verses that are ambiguous in relation to the shape of the earth, unequivocal, things like the four corners of the earth.
Right.
And then the third class was verses that involve a misreading of the Bible, which actually means lying. I thought that was interesting that this individual had taken the time and put all those 200 verses in between in those areas, and really none of them are actually proven.
Yeah, and that's a problem, is that if you start misreading or if you start misquoting the Bible even once, boy, you do such damage to the support of what you're trying to get across. And, you know, to talk about the four corners of the earth, well, if you're going to use that, if the earth is flat, it's not necessarily square. They're still saying it's round.
That's exactly right.
Right. So that's, to me, that doesn't help you at all. And you're stretching. And if you've got to stretch to find an answer to that. And again, the question I keep coming back to is what's the deal if it is flat? Like, what does that help us in understanding who God is and why Jesus came to die on the cross? The big thing that I saw was conspiracy. It's conspiracy, and we can't trust the government. And the government has told us, NASA has told us, that the earth
Yes.
is round. And so we can't believe the government. It's not about the Bible. It's about government. It's about, you know, that idea that the government's trying to mislead people. Why would the government want to mislead us in that the earth is flat or round? I don't understand where that would come from, but they supposedly have support.
It seems as though it only sprung up since 1969. Supposedly the moon landing was not true, and
right.
whether it was true or not, so what? What makes you think that if that was fake, what makes you think if you have some satellite pictures that show the earth is flat, what makes you think that that's not fake too?
You know
what I mean?
Right.
So you got to trust something.
Yeah.
But you're right. It only came about really in gaining strength in the last, 40, 50 years, really.
Right, yeah. There has been supposition of this for hundreds and hundreds of years. I mean, there's some of the first explorers were setting out to see if they'd fall off the end of the earth, and So it's been around, but it's
definitely... But Bible believers have never really believed
right,
it.
Right.
They've never really held to it. I mean, even back into the second and third century, you know, some of the writings of what is called the early church fathers, which, you know, I don't really like that term, but, you know, so it that has happened because of a lack of scripture during the Dark Ages, whenever, you know, the Bible was chained to a room and no one was allowed to have it.
Yeah, the comment was made that, you know, only Bible believers hold to this, you know, flat earth position. And that, you know, it's only those who believe the Bible. And it was said in that argument that I watched that all major religions hold to a round earth position.
Yes, a globe, a sphere.
Right.
Yeah.
So all governments and all religions have all agreed that the earth is round, and that is a conspiracy that the flat earthers say is what's going on. Somebody has been able to, you know, fool everybody politically and religiously. That's a pretty big stretch. It's a pretty big stretch.
Yeah, so I guess the main premise would be found in Isaiah, where the Bible says that God sits upon the circle of the earth.
Right.
And so we have taken that to be that, you know, as the Bible says, that God dwells in the north. And so, obviously, that's above us.
Right.
And we take that circle to be a true circle. And whereas many of the flat earthers will say that instead of the earth being a square, flat square, it's a flat disc.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, like a CD disc. And that's what that circle is. And but there certainly are many, many other problems with that issue.
Yeah. How do you combat those who want to push this issue either upon yourself or the church? How do you combat that?
Well, like I said, I've had three people who wanted to talk to me about it. And so do we have time to go into that? Yeah. So here is an example. All three were the same in type of conversation, but the most recent one was probably about 4 years ago. It was after COVID, so must have been like 2 or 3 years ago. And so this individual, you know, came in, you know, listen, you know, you're preaching the word, but you're missing, you know, important doctrine, important Bible teaching.
Mm.
And I said, oh, well, I'm always willing to hear. And so he started talking about the flat earth, and we talked back and forth about it, and he was extremely passionate about it. And it was so vital. It was so important. And so I said, well, how would you rate that? What do you think? Do you think that is the most important message in the Bible? And he said, oh, absolutely. This is the most important thing that people need to hear. And I said, well, what about the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ by which we are saved? And the idea was, well, that's important too.
Oh.
And so I said, well, I would venture to say it is the most important, because the Apostle Paul had said that if I go in and give only one message, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ crucified. That's the most important message
right,
that people need to hear. And so he sort of sidestepped that a little bit. And so finally I got him to agree the gospel is the most important message. And so then again, he started telling me about how, you know, I'm in error by not giving this doctrine out and speaking on it. And I said, well, hold on. Did I preach the gospel today? And he said, well, yeah. I said, well, that's the most important message. Yeah, but, and I said, okay, can you at least agree that the gospel is the most important message that we have to give? Finally, I mean, I'm talking about 20 minutes of back and forth, finally he got to the, he said, okay, yes, that is the most important message. I said, okay, now you're willing to talk about this to anybody. Oh, yeah, because he was telling me all these people that he's talked to. And so I've said, so in the past, 3 months, how many people have you talked to about the flat earth? And he said, 20, 30? I said, well, that's great. In the past 3 months, how many people have you talked to about the gospel?
Right.
And he just sat there, and he wouldn't answer. And so I pressed it. Well, no one. I said, okay, in the past year, how many people have you talked to about the gospel? And then he started to get pretty defensive and pretty angry,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
And I said, hold on here. You at least finally agreed that the gospel is the most important message. So here you are doing this, which may or may not be true. Let's take it that aspect. I said, but, you know, we know the gospel is true. If somebody believes in a flat earth, does that change eternity for them? And he said, you know, I think we're done here.
Yeah.
You're one of these people. And he got up and stormed out, you know. But that's all three conversations I've had with someone mm-hmm. at our church who said, hey, can I talk to you? And so, you know, a couple of times I made an appointment, but, you know, that happened to be, it didn't seem to be too busy after church on Sunday morning. So that's the way that it's been with me. And of course, I know three experiences does not mean the same for everybody, but it seems like it's sort of the same.
Right. Okay. Let's leave it there. And Wednesday, I'd like to maybe discuss a little more just the whole idea of conspiracy theories. There's so many people that are, you know, trying to expose these conspiracies. And I think some of them are. I think there are some things that, you know, have been done wrong. But what
a lot of things that are labeled a conspiracy theory turns out to be true.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh, COVID isn't that bad. Oh, well, CDC just said last week that, well, you can treat COVID as a flu now. Don't even quarantine.
Exactly.
Hmm.
So, yeah. So we'll look at that and, you know, how involved we should be as Christians in those things. Is it important that we try to dispel that and the time that we spend? I think we've pretty much, for me, summed up exactly what I believe and think we should do with what you just said. When people come and want to talk about that, I say, well, how many people have you talked to about Christ? Let's talk about salvation. That's the bigger issue. And there's no conspiracy there. Jesus died and he rose and you need a savior and that's it. So I'm going to leave it there. So from Canton, Michigan, for just a few more hours, headed to Nashville, Tennessee, to be with the Bible Baptist Church, Pastor Aaron Snodderly. I'm Al Stone, and just finished a tremendous, tremendous missions conference in Prairie Baptist Church
Amen.
In Scotts, Michigan. Great to see what God did there.
As you hear this, we are underway with a preaching conference in our church. Brother Billy Ingram from Canaan Baptist Church in Georgia, right around the Atlanta area, is with us, and he is a absolute tremendous preacher. And on tomorrow morning, as this airs, we're hosting a fellowship meeting for pastors, but everyone certainly is invited. And we've got Brother Thomas Shepherd from Indianapolis and Brother Ingram, both of them preaching, and I'm looking forward. I think that's going to be a tremendous, tremendous time.
Yeah, it'll be a great time. Awesome. Well, till Wednesday, this is Tim Talks, and we are so glad that you're with us. And if you're facing some of these conspiracies, know your Bible. Know your Bible. Know what the Bible says, but don't waste too much time. Spend more time telling people about Christ. That'd be our message on this week. This is
Amen.
Tim Talks. We'll be back on Wednesday.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.